Hello and welcome back to Grace and Peace Lenten Devotionals. Today is March the 30th, 2015. We are on Lent 35. And in this final week of Lenten Devotionals, we will be switching focus, turning to chapter 3 in Ephesians. So today we look at verses 1 through 4, which reads, "This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ." So for those of you who don't know the story of Paul, and maybe I probably should have explained this at the beginning, but since he's kind of alluding to it now, it's probably appropriate to mention. So Paul, at one point in time, was a Gentile. He was a non-believer. In fact, he was a persecutor of the Jews. He was always in favor of executing Jews, of hurting the Jews, and did not want to have anything to do with them at one point in time in his life. He then becomes struck, and you can read about this story in the book of Acts. He becomes struck by some sort of lightning or something and becomes blind and deaf. I believe he has both afflictions. And so he is forced to kind of wander through life, through that, for a brief period of time. He repents to God, and all of a sudden he is restored. And at the same time, God speaks to him and says that you are no longer going to, his former name was Saul, S-A-U-L. And when he has this conversion experience, he then becomes Paul after he basically repents to God and apologizes for all the persecution and how he had been mistreating all the Jews in his path. And once he makes this confession, God forgives him and then not only fixes his ailment, but then tasks him with then proclaiming the gospel. And he says, you're going to go do this and this and this. And Paul obeys and does exactly what God tells him to do at this point. I would assume at this point, because he feared retaliation from God once again. Now, having said all that, you know, Paul often in his writings refers to himself similarly, what you see here in the beginning of this third chapter of Ephesians. He often refers to himself in many of his writings as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He would often say that it is better for him to be so conflicted about his faith that it forces him to profess it. It forces him to share the faith, that he cannot share the gospel of truth because he is a prisoner of it. He is so consumed with the love of God and professing that to other people that he often referred to it in many of his writings as almost like a prison sentence. And so when he uses this language throughout his writing, and even though it may sound a bit kind of far-fetched and maybe kind of going to the extreme, what it demonstrates in Paul's faith is that for him, there was no option. There was not an area of his life or any part of his life that could not praise God, that could not be touched by the realm of God. And so this notion of being a prisoner to that is a beautiful analogy when you really think about it that way. I know it sounds, on the surface, sounds very morbid, but how different would our faith be if we looked at our faith as being that there is no escape, there is no other way to praise God than through the gospel of truth in Jesus Christ? it really makes you rethink, you know, Paul's mission and you know, all that he did for the love of God in professing the faith and converting as many people, Jews particularly, as he did. So the second part talks about the mystery of Christ. And so I thought I'd talk about what that mystery is, you know, particularly both in Paul's writings and in Martin Luther's writing. He often talks about the mystery of the faith, that there is some things about God that we simply cannot understand because they cannot be articulated in a English language. They cannot be articulated in a way that people can understand. And so when we can't understand something, of course, we define that as a mystery, something that is a mystery. And, you know, for Luther, he talked about the hidden God and the revealed God, right? The revealed God, and I've mentioned this before in a sermon, but it's worth mentioning here. The revealed God, of course, are things that we can see, things we can tangibly touch. And then there's the hiddenness of God, the stuff that God is a part of that we cannot see. We often talk about the holy sacraments as being a mystery of faith because we trust that God is present, but we really can't see that other than the earthly elements that we use as a part of that ritual. For example, in the wafers and in the wine that we use, which comes from the earth which God created, which is why we say that God is present. And the same thing is true of water. And that's why we say that God is present, that we may not be able to always feel like we are tangibly touching God, but we are definitely touching a part of and partaking of something that God created. But that is a great mystery. It's really hard to kind of wrap your head around that sometimes. And so for Paul, he talked about that you cannot have this full revelation of God unless you fully trust in that mystery. You cannot have that relationship with God wholeheartedly within yourself unless you are willing to really partake and understand that there are simply some things that will be a mystery, and there are some things that will be hidden. That's the nature of trusting in our faith in God. And that's a hard place to be sometimes when you're really struggling in your own spirituality and trying to make sense of who God is for you in your life. And I have to admit that in my own life, you know, that was a struggle for me, particularly as I started really picking apart theology, when I was really studying more intensely about it when I was in school. And you kind of get to the point where you just say, okay, I just simply have to trust that it is what it is and trust that God's word is what it says for me. And whether the mystery is present or not, that's it. And sometimes it's really hard to wrap your head around, but that's what Paul is getting at here in this particular section of text. So and I think it's important for us to remember as we continue to journey down this path as it's nearing an end. Let us pray. Fill us with clear vision of the mystery of your will, that we may live in hope and serve with joy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.